Welcome to BT120, Talking with Your Shadows. I'll be reading some description of shadow, and then I'll tell you how you can talk with your own shadows to reclaim some of the gold that you've been hiding for years. I'll open with a quote from Katya Walter. Shadow wants to be heard, simply that. If it isn't, it turns nasty. It becomes a veritable demon, witch, or son of a bitch, depending on its pound of flesh, in very painful real time, not dream time. Pay attention to your shadow. If you keep distancing yourself, saying, "Heavens, it's not my fault," then heaven help you. Hell won't. The next bit is from Carl Jung. Everyone carries a shadow. And the less it's embodied in the individual's conscious life, the blacker and denser it is. It all counts. It forms an unconscious snag, thwarting our most well-meant intentions. One does not become enlightened by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. Larry Dossey, MD, author of Healing Wounds, has this to say about shadow. The secret is out. All of us, no exceptions, have qualities we won't let anyone else see, including ourselves, our shadow. If we face our dark side, our life can be energized. If not, there is the devil to pay. This is one of life's most urgent projects. Robert Bly from A Little Book on the Human Shadow. Let's talk about the personal shadow first. When we were 1 or 2 years old, we had what we might visualize as a 360-degree personality. Energy radiated out from all parts of our body and all parts of our psyche. A child running is a living globe of energy. We had a ball of energy, all right, but one day we noticed that our parents didn't like certain parts of that ball. They said things like, "Can't you be still?" or, "It isn't nice to try to kill your brother." Behind us, we have an invisible bag, and that part of us that our parents didn't like, we, to keep our parents' love, put in the bag. By the time we go to school, our bag is quite large. Then our teachers have their say. Good children don't get angry over such little things. So we take our anger and put that in the bag. He goes on to say, when we put a lot in our bag, we often have, as a result, little energy. This is from Paul Dunyan's book, Shadow Marriage, A Descent into Intimacy. The Jungian analyst Robert Johnson describes the nature of shadow in Owning Your Own Shadow. In the cultural process, we sort out God-given characteristics into those that are acceptable to our society and those that have to be put away. This is wonderful and necessary, and there would be no civilized behavior without this sorting out of good and evil. But the refused and unacceptable characteristics do not go away. They only collect in the dark corner of our personality. When they've been hidden long enough, they take on a life of their own, the shadow life. Shadow is that which is not entered adequately into consciousness. It is the despised quarter of our being. It often has an energy potentially nearly as great as that of our ego. It erupts as an overpowering rage or some indiscretion that slips past us. Or we have a depression or an accident that seems to have its own purpose. The shadow gone autonomous is a terrible monster in our psychic house. Johnson describes shadows as those traits we deem unacceptable and avoid by pushing them back into the dark corners of our personality. This is our way of coping with the tension created by shadow traits such as lust, arrogance, hatred, jealousy, greed, and vanity. Johnson doesn't limit shadow to our unacceptable traits. He also includes our exceptionally positive traits. People ask, how is it possible that we can see our greatest qualities as unacceptable and drive them deep into the unconscious. This is from a wonderful book called The Shadow in America, Reclaiming the Soul of a Nation, edited by Jeremiah Abrams. Jung referred to the shadow as simply the thing a person has no wish to be. One does not become enlightened, he said, by imagining figures of light, but by making the darkness conscious. The latter procedure, however, is disagreeable and not popular. What is the shadow? We continue to know it by many names: the alter ego, the lower self, the other, the double, the dark twin, the disowned self, the repressed self, the id, etc. We speak of meeting our demons, wrestling with the devil made me do it, and a descent to the underworld, a dark night of the soul, a midlife crisis. The shadow abounds in the classic human stories. It is a Grendel to his Beowulf, Shakespeare's Macbeth to his more noble Hamlet, Mephistopheles in dialect with Faust, Darth Vader, the Dark Father, in battle with his ego-heroic son, Luke Skywalker. Well, here's some tidbits from another book called Meeting the Shadow, The Hidden Power of the Dark Side of Human Nature, edited by Connie Zewig and Jeremiah Abrams. Sounds like he's got quite an interest in this. All the feelings and capacities that are rejected by the ego and exiled into the shadow contribute to the hidden power of the dark side of human nature. However, not all of them are what we consider to be negative traits. According to Jungian analyst Lillian Frey-Rohn, this dark treasury includes our infantile parts, emotional attachments, neurotic symptoms, as well as our undeveloped talents and gifts. The shadow, she says, retains contact with the lost depths of the soul, with life and vitality, the superior, the universally human, and yes, even the creative can be sensed there. Disowning the shadow, we cannot look directly into this hidden domain. The shadow by nature is difficult to apprehend. It is dangerous, disorderly, and forever in hiding, as if the light of consciousness would steal its very life. Meeting the shadow. Although we cannot gaze at it directly, the shadow does appear in daily life. For example, we meet it in humor, such as dirty jokes or slapstick antics, which express our hidden, inferior, or feared emotions. When we observe closely that which strikes us as funny, such as someone slipping on a banana peel or referring to a taboo body part, we discover that the shadow is active. John Sanford points out that people who lack a sense of humor probably have a very repressed shadow. It's usually the shadow self that laughs at jokes. The late psychologist R.D. Lang. It's common to meet the shadow at midlife, when one's deeper needs and values tend to change direction, perhaps even making a 180-degree turn. This calls for breaking old habits and cultivating dormant talents. If we don't stop to heed the call and continue to move in the same life direction, we will remain unaware of what midlife has to teach. Depression, too, can be a paralyzing confrontation with the dark side, a contemporary equivalent of the mystic's dark night of the soul. An inner demand for the descent into the underworld can be overridden by outer concerns, such as the need to work long hours, distractions by other people, or antidepressant drugs, which damp our feelings of despair. In this case, we fail to grasp the purpose of our melancholy. Meeting the shadow calls for slowing the pace of life, listening to the body's clues, and allowing ourselves time to be alone in order to digest the cryptic messages from the hidden world. So that's a lot of cool information. The shadow's a strong force that we've all got inside of us. Not many people want to look at it because it's pretty scary. The strange thing is that it holds a lot of gold for us, too. I was introduced to some of my shadows about 20 years ago. on a men's weekend I did called the New Warrior Training Adventure Weekend. They're still being put on, and they're still very, very effective. You can find out more information at www.mkp.org. So, how does a guy talk to his shadows? Well, I usually visit with mine on the way into work. I've got a job that there are parts of it that I like, and there are parts of it that I just don't like at all. Mostly it's boring work, and sometimes it's fun. I like the guys I work with, and I'm not getting paid enough. Shockaroo. So I like to talk with my shadows. I've discovered I've got nasty shadows and golden shadows. Since nasty shadows are the most vocal for me, they're usually the ones to speak up first. So I'll just ask them, "So what do you guys got for me today?" And they'll tell me, "Oh, we're going to get you to work late today. You're not going to want to pay attention to the projects you got that you're supposed to be working on. We're going to have you fool around and do stuff that's not productive at all. You're going to feel pretty crappy about yourself by the end of the day. We're going to keep you thinking about the future and how crappy it is. You haven't got any money saved for retirement. You'd rather be doing something else. Too good for this kind of work. Oh, we're going to keep you really distracted. You're not going to have a good day at all." Oh, crud. Anything else? Yeah, you're not going to have time for lunch. Blech. We're going to keep you grumpy all day. You're going to have a miserable day. Anything else? No. Okay, thanks for the info. So, golden shadows, what do you got? Oh man, it's like the dome light comes on sometimes. Oh, we're so glad you asked us in. We're going to get you to work right on time. If you're a few minutes late, we'll have you stay a few minutes late. No problem. We're going to help you stay focused on every little project you've got to work on today. We're going to help you work like an old man. It's simple, it's easy, and it's fun. We're not going to have you worry about the future at all. We're not going to let you worry about retirement or about your savings or about your marriage or what else you could be doing. We're going to have you focused on the here and now. We're going to help you stay focused on the moment, not fretting about the future. It's going to be a wonderful day. You're going to have a fine time today. Oh, cool. Anything else? Oh, yeah, we're going to take you out for a good lunch, too. It's on us. Don't worry about it. Cool. Anything else? You're going to have a fine day. You can pick up that nasty crap when you get home tonight, if you want it. Whoa. Thanks. And it's that simple. No sacred space, no big ritual, no nothing. Just ask them. They'll tell you. So, you've heard some fancy talk about shadows and what they are, how they affect us a little bit, and that they're pretty important to pay attention to. I've also told you how I talk with my shadows, usually in the morning when I'm grumpy on the way to work, and I'm pleasantly surprised at how gracefully the days flow by. And I have fun at work. There you go. Thanks for listening. This is podcast BT120, Talking with Your Shadows. You can hear more podcasts at www.burningtruck.com. This is John Tysberg, and thanks for listening.